Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
And we are back live once again, my friend. You are listening to the voices of New Africa, the show that is dedicated to the liberation of New African people. And we welcome you again today on this second day of Kwanzaa, Kuji Chakalia. And we have an exciting show. We're going to open up the lines, but I think it's fitting that today is Kuji Chakalia, which stands for self-determination, to define ourselves, to name ourselves, to create for ourselves and speak for ourselves instead of having other people do these things for us. So this is kind of fitting, you know, and I didn't even try to do this because I had made this show before I realized that the show was going to air on this particular day of Kwanzaa. But we want to talk about the system. What should be the best solution for our people to fight against this system of oppression? I mean, we understand, we as New African people understand that the system is the problem, that we have been struggling against a system of oppression ever since the beginning of the chattel slavery in this country. So what should be our solution? Is reforming the solution? Is reforming the system the solution? Or should we be trying to do something else? I mean, for centuries and centuries, we have been trying to integrate into this system. We've been trying to change this system. And we all understand this, what the problem is. Well, people who are in the know, you know, you can go to some of the, even the integrationists, the civil rights, the Black Lives Matter protests, and you hear them chanting, you know, unite, convict, send that killer cop to jail. The whole damn system is guilty as hell. So we understand that there is a problem within this system. So what we want to talk about today is we want to get into, is reforming the system truly the solution to our problem? And I'm going to open up the phone line and get your opinion. I have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Hello,
yes,
caller.
Okay, this is Brother Kokai. I wasn't sure if it was 596 you were speaking to. But I'm glad opened up the line. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, you're here. You're live, brother.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm not used to being on the air, but like I like to say, first and foremost, free the land, brother.
Free the land. I
have
to
realize. We have, yes, and sometimes as street scholars, we have the task and duty and the responsibility to enlighten the masses of the people who may or may not be conscious of the fact of what's going on with this system. And when we talk about reform, you know, as a street scholar, we have to define what the reform means. And reform simply means that you are trying to basically improve or change or refine a system. And when you try to improve, change, or refine a system, what you're really doing is in reforming is you're seeking to improve a system as it stands. You want the system to remain. And when you want the system to remain, then you're not recognizing the atrocities and the unjust or unsatisfactory treatment that we're going through as a people. And we have to recognize that reforming anything that's broken is not a solution to a problem. If the problem stands, that it's the system that's designed to exploit, oppress, and eliminate melanated people around the globe, then it stands to say that we need to have a radical change. Radical change means that we need to overthrow and make sure that that system that exists today no longer exists. So I can't fathom even thinking that reforming a system as it stands is a solution to any of our problems here in the United States or globally. We have to recognize that when it's time to make something happen, the solution comes from not from within making adjustments. Let's face it. Adjustments and refinement of this system has already been attempted for hundreds of years. We've tried protesting. We've tried marching. We've tried asking the powers to be, who are mainly white Europeans, to change their attitudes, to change the way they look at black people. And we find out that the majority of them are satisfied with the way things are. And their only mission and goal is to make sure that they keep us as a people confused, so that some of us, or the majority of us, are ignorant to what's going on, and the other one that has a little intelligence intellectualize why they should try to attempt again to make some adjustments and changes to the system that as it stands. And we have to recognize as a people that, look, we can't stand by readily and allow this to continue to go on. The only problem that we have at the moment, and I'm not saying it's the only, but one of many of the problems that we have, is that we have generations that die out, and their strives and attempts to reform the system dies out with them. And then the new generation goes back and does the same thing over and over again. And as a people, going over, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, as a people, that means as a people, we are insane. That's the definition of insanity.
I think also, when you talk about reform, I go back to something Martin Luther King said. It's one of the things that people don't talk about. You always hear about Dr. King talking about, I have a dream, and little white boys and black boys and girls holding hands and using the toilet together and all that type of stuff. But one thing that he said is, he said that he had been trying to integrate into this system all his life. And he wondered, was that a mistake? Because he's concerned that he's not, that he's integrating into a burning house. And that burning house is a system that was founded on the exploitation of our people. And I think it's important that we understand exactly what the system is, how it operates. If you don't understand what you're trying to reform or what you're trying to change, then you have no real clue on how to go about doing it, or whether you need to be doing it at all. Because, see, we got to understand that this system, and right now, the system in which we are under, with this U.S. capitalism, which is the same thing as monopoly capitalism, is based on the exploitation of people. That is the underlying goal. That is what it's about. So you got to understand that the people who are in power, the people who control things, benefit from the way the system is. They don't want to change the system. Any type of reform or adjustment to the system that will actually happen is not going to change that fundamental goal of the system, which capitalism is based on gaining maximum profit for the ruling elite or the bourgeoisie. And that is not going to change. Any type of reform that we think that we're going to get is only going to be a pacifier to people, to keep the people from rebelling and seeking true change, which would be actually revolution. And as you said, we've tried reforming the system. We've been trying to reform the system for hundreds of years. The whole struggle for civil rights is an attempt to reform the system. And I think we have to get rid of this fallacy that, okay, we can make European or white people love us is that it's going to correct the problem. Any people who believe that this is what we need to do, we need to change the attitudes, we need to get rid of the racist mentality of the people, and that's going to solve the problem, you clearly don't understand how the system operates. Because a lot of times when we talk about integrating into the system or changing the system, what we're really saying is we want to become a part of the system. We want to become an equal part of the system. Well, by actually saying that, what we're actually saying is we want to move from being the oppressed to the oppressor, because under this system as it is based on the exploitation of individuals. It's based on the exploitation of land, of resources, of people. And if you're trying to integrate into this system, then somebody will be the exploited. And that's not the type of system, that's not the type of situation that I think we're trying to be under, but I think because of a misunderstanding of how the system works, of how the system operates, of the goals and objectives of this system of capitalism, which capitalism evolved from the system of chattel slavery. Because a lot of people don't understand the system of slavery. Chattel slavery, that was an economic system. It was based on the exploitation of African people for their labor, for free labor. It was a vicious, cruel, violent crime against humanity system that was devastating to our people, and we are still feeling the residual effects of it today. But we have to understand the present, current system of capitalism evolved from that system.
You're right. You're right, brother. And I'd like to go ahead.
No, you go.
I hate to say piggyback, but in addition to what you're saying, because the fundamental foundation of all the confusion and all of the unrest with the system is that we all know that something is wrong. And because we know that something is wrong, we're trying to attempt to fix the problem, because we know that there's a problem. What we have to recognize as a people is that working within that system to change some of the mechanisms in the system will not create an ideal situation for the masses, because it's designed, like you said, and structured to exploit and oppress the masses of the people. So when we talk about a solution, we can't think of making adjustments and refinements to a system that is in and of itself going to maintain white supremacy as a solution. So what do we do as a people? We say, okay, if I had to educate the masses on why we need to change it completely, just completely change from this capitalist system to a socialist system, something that is dedicated to self-determination. Thank you for mentioning that today is Puja Shakalia, the day of self-determination. Then we have to do something completely different. We try to integrate. We try to reform. We try to ask for equality. All of those things are something that is designed to suggest that we're making a difference in a system that still stands. And all of those things are synonymous. And as a people, because we're using the oppressor's language, we're susceptible to trickery and fuckery through the language. We don't know that reform, equality, and integration is the same damn thing. We have to recognize that. And we have to recognize that if you couple all three of those types of actions to refine the system over hundreds of years in the United States and thousands of years worldwide, we haven't made no progress. They talked about integrating schools. And now, in 1954, with the Brown versus the Board of Education, we first talked about integrating schools. And now today in 2015, going into 2016, it's more segregation in public schools than it has been since 1954. So it's not working, and we have to understand that all aspects of life in the social life, in education, in religion, in the military, in every aspect of life, sex, entertainment, all of these aspects of life, we've tried these same things to adjust, refine, and make adjustments to the wrongdoings of this system, and we find out later on that it's all for naught.
All right, brother. We had another caller on the line. I think we got our sister Saox on the line. Sister Saox, do you want to jump in on this? Sister Saox, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and
clear.
Yes, you're here.
Yes. I concur with everything that has been said. We have to realize that we cannot conform or reform a system that is built on the foundation of the system, is built on lies, is built on destruction, is built on destroying people of color's lives, or poor people's lives. So there's no way that we can ever reform this particular system. We have to create our own. Why would we want to go through the trauma and the difficulty of even attempting to do that? It doesn't even make sense. If that's out every fabric of the system woven, is corruption, is degradation, is a complete failure in terms of the liberation of all people. That makes no sense. So the idea of reforming is ridiculous.
Got you, no doubt. I'm going to take a brief pause for the calls. But when we're going to go back, it was an interesting point brought up about integration, about what has actually happened since integration. I want to get into that when I come back on the other side of the break. But you are listening to the Voices of New Africa. I am your host, Brother Yayra, a.k.a. Prophecy, and Free the Land.
And this is what we really have to be about, is the process of building a nation as a people. If you're not thinking in terms of nationhood, then I must say, frankly, you're not thinking seriously of being liberated.
All right.
Trying to integrate and merge with our enemies is not going to solve our problem. And it's not going to happen, as a matter of fact. It is a fantasy that has kept us from taking care of business for far too long, the idea that we are going to one day be one with these people. That we are going to merge into invisibility with these white folks. And even if that were possible, we should question our motives for wanting to do so. Why would you want to merge with the world's greatest criminals and thieves? With the people who have the worst values the world has ever known.
You're listening to the Voices of New Africa. Freeze the land.
And we are back. You just listened to an insert from the late, great Amos Wilson, one of our wonderful ancestors, author of The Blueprint to Black Power and many other publications. But he brought up an interesting point about why we want to integrate. In fact, this for the most part, there have been two strategies against this system of oppression, against this system of white supremacy, as far as our people are concerned. You had the civil rights movement, the integration movement, and then you have the black nationalist movement, which is now the New African Independence Movement. One struggles for civil rights, one struggle for human rights. Now, the majority of our people
have been engaged into an integrationist struggle, a civil rights struggle. And if we just take a second and look at where it has gotten us. Look at the condition of our communities today. I mean, now on the one hand, we have individuals who have become very successful within this system. You have the Oprahs, the Jay-Z's, the, you know, you have individuals that they always point to and say, look at that. The system is working. But overall, the masses are not doing too well. Because you look at the poverty in our community, the unemployment, the crime, the mass incarceration, still dealing with police brutality. So if we look at it collectively, the strategy of integration has not worked. In fact, if you look at, you go back to the days of segregation, we were more independent then than we are now. We collectively owned more then under segregation, under Jim Crow, than we do now. We had our own companies. There was a such thing as black community. See, a black community would be something in which black people controlled, owned the resources, the economy, the education, the politics of that particular community. See, we don't really have that today. We have neighborhoods, we have places, residents with a large or high concentration of African people, but they're not really black communities, they are African communities, because we don't control the industry, we don't control the resources of those communities. And I would argue that this is a direct effect of us trying to integrate into a burning house, as Dr. King said. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Any comments?
Yes, I'm going to balance on that.
Let me hear some thoughts.
Yeah, I would like to expound on that. It's interesting that you brought up just the whole concept of black community and family. You know, we have to realize that when we were brought over here into this particular system of capitalism and imperialism through the slave trade, we lost our original value and our original culture in terms of what family really is, how we view family as African people. And as African people, it's always been an I and I concept, meaning that if I have, you have. And if it was one person that didn't have, we all don't have. You see what I'm saying? It was never this this individualistic type of thinking, which is the European concept of thinking. And because we've been over here so long, we have kind of developed that, especially through the whole integration aspect. Because before that, like you said, when we had our own communities and we were forced to only deal with each other, which is a beautiful thing. That's how it's supposed to be anyway. We had our own businesses. We had a sense of community. We had a sense of sharing and loving one another. But as soon as we decided, okay, we want civil rights, we want to be a part of this particular system, we want to be a part of everything, because of the psychological mindset that we have developed through the slave trade, through the whole system breaking process, we decided white is better than what it is that we have. And we come up with this whole way of thinking that's individualistic versus African versus family oriented, because in family, African family, it's not just mom, dad, and children. It's the family, mom, dad, children, cousins, aunties, village, your whole village is your family. Your whole, as people call it, tribe is your family. That's what we come up, that's what our culture is. So when you take on somebody else's culture, you erase that whole idea. So that's the reason why we see, like you said, some people, some black people that have been so-called successful. But if we look at it with African eyes, African perspective, we're very unsuccessful, because just as much as we see brothers and sisters that have so-called made it, we have a whole
class of people that live in poverty, that are brutalized by the police on a daily basis, that, you know, so our current state is in the worst state possible right now, despite those few that so-called have made it.
Exactly. But Brother Kakai, you have anything to add? Brother Kakai, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yes, I do have something to add. You know, and the sister so eloquently talked about our families and our communities and how things have changed. And, you know, when we talk about reforming a system, we have to recognize that first and foremost that there is this concept amongst us and between the masses of us that there's something wrong. Let's get to the fundamental idea that we know as a people that something is wrong. That's why we're trying to fix this problem. Now we have to educate our masses of people on what the true solution is. Well, let's look at some of the things you mentioned. You talked about our people on a mass scale are impoverished. You talked about our people on a mass scale have unemployment rates higher than anyone else. Our people on a mass scale are incarcerated more than anyone else. And see, when we talk about education, which is one of the problems within this white supremacist system, we have to talk about the police brutality, which is another problem. Then we have to talk about the injustices of being able to even compete on an economic level with these folks. So we have to understand that no matter what we talk about in this system, on every aspect of this system, there's the actual reality that there is racist practices and tactics that are applied to melanated people, people of color, people who have built this country, people who have been responsible for the creation of the power in this country that are being put on the back burner, because if we as a people become economically sufficient, we have self-determination on what we want to do as a people, then what we really end up finding out is that the true instinct of these demons will rise to the top, and we'll see what they're capable of doing, because every time we as a people show a sign, self-sufficient, self-sustaining, they are threatened that we will change their system, and they'll band together as always and create a climate where it's okay to kill us as a people. So let's be realistic about this, people. When we start talking about what we're going to do as a people to change this system, the way out is not reform, because we're going to end up dealing with these people again on a mass scale with balance, because they know if everything was even, if resources were even, if information and education was even, we are gods, and we are the ones that will come back to the forefront and move.
Oh, let me turn that down, bro. Sorry about that. But yeah.
No, I was just really wanting people to recognize that when we start talking about solutions, we have to think about having solutions that are outside of the box. That means that we can no longer think with a Eurocentric mindset. We have to think with an Afrocentric mindset on solutions to our problems. We can never come up with a solution thinking the way a European thinks, because his concept of solutions to the problem benefits him. We have to think in terms of what's beneficial for us. And like the brother Amos said, you know, it's ridiculous for us to even think that partnering up with the greatest thieves, murderers, you know, these people aren't people we want to deal with as far as being in a partnership with. And we have to recognize that our solution to the problem is outside of the box in which we are trying to come up with solutions now, within the box, reforming, asking for equality, asking for integration. This is thinking inside of the box. That means that you think that the system is working for you and you want it to stay as it is. You just want them to change who they are and how they act. They're not going to change. They've proven it to us throughout history that they are going to maintain their position over wealth and exploiting the people. And that's what white supremacy is all about. This is the exploitation and oppression of people, of nations, of continents, and ultimately of the world. And that's what white supremacy is all about. And that's why racism exists. That's why sexism exists. That's why we're finding all of these atrocities happening to us. You know, even with the police brutality, they talk about this brother did this and that's why he should have been shot and killed. You know, the bottom line is that when you look at Mike Brown, where in history do you see that a white person steals or takes a cigarillo and then gets shot down and killed and lay out in the streets for public view for 5 or 6 hours? That's just like in the past when they used to put us on public squares and lynch us so that it could be out in the public, visible to us, so we can bow down and say that we're not going to do that because this is what they're going to do to us. So they try to put a fear in us. That's why they left Michael Brown out in the street like that. They're still using the same tactics. And we have to recognize that. Nothing has changed, so we have to change it.
Exactly.
Oh, you had something to ask.
Yes, exactly what Brother Kwakai said, that this is the slave system. It has not changed. The look of it has changed, but it has not changed. It's meant to make the most money off of slave labor. That's all this system is. So when we talk about we want to reform the system, it's like us asking Master, please Master, begging Master to let us in on whatever. And that doesn't benefit the Master at all. So it's not going to happen, period. So it's crazy. It's ludicrous for us to think that, for us to even make those as endeavors in our life as African people. That makes no sense. If we want freedom and liberation.
Exactly. I had just because a lot of times, when you're talking about the problems that our people face in the mainstream, inside the box, European philosophical, ideological thought process, they always go to these same little keywords. They say, well, if you really want to affect change, you need to go out and vote. Go out and vote. And that, from my perspective, from my mindset, that sounds like the most ridiculous thing in the world. And before I just give my little spiel on it, anybody want to comment on that? Is voting the answer? Can we vote our way out of the oppression?
No. No, that we can't vote our way out of the oppression. We're voting for people that are within the system, people that are supposed to be in those particular places to uphold the particular system of white supremacy. So, and capitalism. So that makes no sense, because whoever you put in there, they are to uphold this system. In whatever position, that's why they're here to uphold the system. So that's crazy. You know, because even if it's somebody that thinks they're going to go in and make a difference, no, they have obligations within that particular seat to the system, or else. Or else
can be
a plethora of things.
Yeah, and I'd like to add to the Queen when she said that they're in the system. You know, I noticed that when we talk about political races and voting and things of that nature, we always talk about what the politician is going to do within the system to change it. Isn't that a part of reforming? Isn't it taking a position? Isn't those politicians taking a position that the system should stand, but we're going to try to make some changes within it? That's what a politician is all about. When we figure out as a people that they call it an election because they've already selected the people and we don't have a choice. That's why we elect, because we don't have a choice. They select who they're going to put in front of us, and then we determine out of the many people that they put in front of us, which one is the lesser of two evils. Because we don't select, we don't choose who's out there. They do. And then we elect them. And they're using that trickery and fuckery with the language again to make us think that we're doing something. But in actuality, it's a reason why it's an election and not a selection. It's because they have put the people in place that are going to do what it takes to maintain the system and promise us these reforms that we know don't work. Reform, equality, and integration does not work. So anybody that's participating in a political system that's designed to stay as is but promise people some changes or refinement within a system that doesn't work are people that are our enemies. Either because they are intentionally perpetuating this system or because they're too ignorant to know what they're doing.
Exactly. And bro, my whole take on that, first of all, we have to clear up this misperception we live under a democracy. To be specific, you know, and this is not even just analyzing what the system is. This is what the system says it is. Specifically, we live under what's called a representative democracy. So we don't elect the president. We elect the people who elect the president. We select the people who elect the president. So the whole concept of, make your vote count and all that kind of stuff is not really true, because, you know, every vote doesn't count. That is within the system, how it is, how it is set up. But looking at the system, we basically have a two-party system, Democrat and Republican. That's basically what we have. Both of these parties operate within the construct, within the boundaries of the system of white supremacy, of the system of capitalism, of the system of imperialism and neocolonialism. So regardless to which side you pick, the only solutions that's going to come out of these individuals is something that's going to be within the boundaries of this system, which is the problem in the first place. So voting is really an outlet. It's something, because I remember when George Bush was the president. A lot of people forget this, but the whole country was on the verge of real revolution. Not only African people, it was probably more white people, European people, who was pissed off at George Bush than actually African people, because we've always understood the exploitation. We've always been the victims of exploitation of this system. George Bush just made it clear. You know, he wasn't a good politician. A good politician can do one thing but make it appear that he's doing another. But he just, you know, he was just straightforward. Like, I'm screwing y'all. I'm trying to take over the world. I'm bombing people for their oil, and I'm not trying to make any secrets about it. And a lot of people were upset, on the verge of rebel in this country, because they realized the country, what America actually was not what they thought it was. And I remember all of this revolutionary energy, you know, about to explode. And then all of a sudden, a guy by the name of Barack Obama comes out of nowhere. And he's something completely different. You know, he echoes the thing that we want to hear. He talks about the things that we want to hear. And all of that energy that could have potentially brought down this system of oppression and white supremacy was transferred to a vote. And that's what voting is really about, to give the people the perception that they are actually making a difference. Because, you know, energy has to go somewhere. And when people understand that things are not right and it's creating a certain negative energy within the people, that energy is going to go somewhere. That's why society is always focused on football games and entertainment, so the masses of people have somewhere to channel their energy so we can have an outlet for our energy. I remember hearing and studying about when Dr. King was assassinated. And one of the first things they did was they got James Brown to give a concert so the people would have an outlet and they wouldn't rebel against the system. They could go out and they could party, they could sing, and they could dance their troubles away. That's kind of the philosophy behind churches. That's why we, on Sunday mornings like today, matter of fact, it was on TV. I heard some guy just saying the most ridiculous things in the world. But they were talking about politics. This is a black church. They were talking about politics. Why America is a good thing that we're supporting Israel and all this kind of stuff. And then he did a lot of hooping and hollering and get people's emotions involved in it. Because the church, although it has been a source of comfort within our community, it also has been a source of control within our community. So a lot of times when we go to church, you know, the preacher gets us hyped up and we expend a lot of energy that could otherwise go against the slave master, the oppressor. So, I mean, and I went all around the world, but it still goes back to voting. That's in my opinion, that's the purpose of voting, somewhere to transfer that energy of change so people can actually have the idea or belief that, yo, I'm a part of this system. I'm making a difference. So that energy won't go other places. So, you know, that's just my idea of voting. It's not a real solution because you're only voting for people who are put in position to maintain the system. Barack Obama, regardless to what you think about him, regardless to what even he planned on doing when he was getting in the White House, he was not put in that position to change the system. He was put in that position to take some of this negative energy that we had built up from George Bush and to diffuse it. And that's what he did. And also, you know, now that you have an African person in the White House, even though, you know, there was, you know, in dialectic in the real world, one always divides into the two. And when he was elected, you know, the mainstream media went on this campaign that we live in a post-racial society, even though that wasn't true. That wasn't the reality, you know. And now you see an increase of outright, you know, racist acts. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that people are really pissed off because you got a nigga in the White House. And many of the traditional racist attitudes or prejudice attitudes that the mainstream has, you know, that only went away in the media. Because the media said it, but in reality, people are still held on to them, and you're seeing it every day. But, you know, we're almost out of time, so I'm going to give y'all an opportunity to say any final words that you want to say before I wrap it up. Sister Sa, you got anything you want to say before you go?
Yes, I just want us to realize as a people that this whole system is based upon deception and illusion. It is what it was when it started, which was a slave-based system. It still is that. So if you look at this system through the eyes of knowing that everything is based upon deception and illusion, start asking those questions. Okay, what is it? What is really happening within the